Have you ever absolutely panicked after you accidentally deleted a file on your computer? I know I have. It's not an issue if you've got CrashPlan Smart Recovery. Your files are just a few clicks away and can be restored in a snap. CrashPlan provides the best cloud backup solutions in the market. Visit crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. Now you can protect all your work with an unlimited backup and recovery solution. CrashPlan makes it simple to restore some or all of your data. And with unlimited version retention, CrashPlan can be your ultimate rewind button. Get unlimited computer backup for you or your business with CrashPlan Professional. CrashPlan backs up files that live on your computer and works with PC, Mac, and Linux. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's crashplan.com/bossproject for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
Hey, Steph, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
I love the regular appearances you're making on the show.
Oh man, it's like my favorite thing. Don't you feel like we have so many crazy things to do every week, and then when you get to sit down and podcast with a friend, it's like such a treat.
You're like, yes, let's just record our conversation. That sounds easy.
Yeah, just a bunch of business nerds doing what we do.
Yep. Besides the fact that we talked for like 30 minutes before we finally hit record, it's fine.
I know. We probably just should have, we should have just been recording that probably.
Yep. Just be a fly on the wall. It's fine. So I brought Steph on today because you guys have just wrapped up the 5 days to launch challenge. If you're going through it like live right now, if you're listening to this way later, don't worry. Like, I'm sure we'll be bringing it back again soon. But what happens generally when people in this challenge, they're super motivated, they're super pumped, they launched a thing, their service, their product is out into the world, they've made money. And we've done this launch over and over and over again, and it's amazing the results that people are finally doing. They're like launching opt-ins and blogs and e-courses and coaching and planners and like relaunching strategies. And it's so freaking fantastic. But then always what happens is their momentum kind of dies down and their like hustle frazzle starts to creep in. And a couple like days and weeks after the challenge, they go back to their same old habits of not really being that productive. And they're out of that bubble of like massive accountability and massive, like we're yelling at everyone to get stuff done because they don't have a system. And because they don't have workflows and processes and all of the things. So that's what Steph is going to help you guys with today.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I couldn't have said it better. It's what I hear in that is like there's some adrenaline when you're in challenge mode, when you have amazing teachers like you and Abby. Of course, you're riding high at the end of your 5 days. You're like, okay, I launched something. And that is a tremendous accomplishment. But what I have found to be true after working with entrepreneurs for years now is sometimes we have to back things up a step. You have amazing ideas. Like, here's what I have found to be true about entrepreneurs. There is no shortage of amazing ideas. For people listening to this show, you guys are so talented. Like, I'm in the TCC group. I cannot even believe the level of talent that's in there. And so the problem isn't coming up with an amazing idea. You guys just proved that in the challenge. You launched things. It's amazing. But sometimes what happens, like you said, Em, when there's not a system for how do I keep making measurable progress day after day? Like, I launched, now what? I have found that there are 7 big reasons that your to-do list might not be getting done. And if you are someone who's had the experience of like, what the hell? Every week I write out my to-do list and every week it's Friday and I have that sick feeling in my gut of pushing everything to Monday. Believe me when I say I've been there, and I've been there so many times that I built a whole business around fixing it.
Yep.
It sucks. It's like you have all these ideas. You're like, why am I not making progress? Why am I not growing? So I'm excited to talk about the big commonalities I have noticed for why people aren't getting the stuff done.
Well, and I think a lot of it's too, especially coming out of launch mode, like, guys, we helped you through the challenge and we taught and we gave support and we were showing up for Q&A, and that's a certain type of energy. But I think what you guys like maybe don't realize is that we're launching the challenge. Like, we are promoting the challenge, selling it to you guys, getting people to sign up, showing up for people, opening the doors to our signature program. So like, while we're helping you launch your thing, we are literally in the middle of a launch. And so when I say that I know what that feeling is like, it's because we're doing it right with you. And we come down from almost like a sugar high, and you come down after eating all the pixie sticks and you're like exhausted and dehydrated and you want to crawl into your cave and sleep forever. And some of us can like get out of that and kind of go back into our normal realm. But truly, like we were on a call the other day with one of our Strategy Academy students, and she was like, okay, so I launched and I did my thing and it went really well. Like I got students and I got clients and the promotion went great. I knew exactly how to market it, but I don't know what to do now. And it's just this feeling of helplessness and it sucks.
Yeah, totally. Here's what I think is necessary. We need a really simple approach to laying out our work time. It's really easy to overcomplicate it. The pretty planners, I know you guys say this all the time, the beautiful planners, the perfect stationery, the pens, all the stuff. It's so exciting to buy that stuff, but it starts collecting dust really fast. So the key here is we need to identify the obstacles. We need to create a simple approach. This is why Trello for Business is so amazing, I think, because it really does remove the stuff that doesn't need to be there and help you kind of get back into CEO mode. And I've loved hearing from people in your community who've taken my approach, the 15-minute planner method, and combined it with Trello for Business, which is incredible. But I think the thing those two systems have in common is it really is a simple approach that works and it optimizes business growth. That's what we need to prioritize.
Yeah, but yet we still have so many people who are taking Trello for Business and going through the program and still like they'll get hyper-focused on creating that system and laying the boards out and like, okay, this is how Abby and Emily do it. And then maybe it goes like that for like a week or so and then they fall off the bandwagon. So I think the things that we're going to talk about today, and let's just dive right into it, are those like habit shifts and behaviors that like do these in conjunction with Trello for Business and the 15-minute planner method and the system that's working for you.
100%. Okay. So I've got, like I said, 7 reasons why your to-do list might not be getting done. And I'm going to do a disclaimer up top, which is you probably have heard some of these. They will not all be new novel surprises, but here's the deal. If you've heard them before, it's because they're true, right? Like things yeah. that we, like habits we keep falling into, they're sometimes the same old things, but I'm going to try and give a new spin on maybe some of the things that you've heard before to beat it once and for all. So the first one is probably one of those. It is the number one thing. I get so wrapped up with this with my people because oh, it's such a trap. You need to step away from the inbox.
Oh, for the love of...
Can I get an amen?
I could talk about this for 87 hours.
Yep. So, and I say inbox and I actually mean like collectively, that's like a catch-all for social media, chores, basically bullshit in your business that is not making you money. And we love to convince ourselves that it's really important. Here's the deal. So this is something I love. This is a stat from a study. The average person spends 28% of the work week reading and responding to email. 28%. As for social media, we're talking 135 minutes a day on average. That's 2 hours a day.
135 minutes.
Yes. This is from the McKinsey Global Institute. It's a study that they did recently. And
what are you people doing?
I know. And that's the thing. So our brains are literally wired to respond to what feels urgent. So when the notifications beep, the phone rings, the email comes in, the client's pissed, all the things, that's where we go first.
Yep.
So if there's a reason this is the first one on my list is because this is the first thing all of us have to examine. And listen, I do this for a living and I have to like manage myself on this as well. And I'm not saying we need to delete social media or stop replying to email. Although I will say I would challenge people to let it go.
I will 100% say you can stop replying to email.
I mean, right. Like, I mean, if it's going to take you, I can't tell you if you email me, it's not that I don't love you. It's just like a week later, I'm going to be like, hey, sorry for the delay. It's just how I do things because you have to prioritize the things that you need to get done. So these things that are pinging you in the face, look out for them. It feels like that fire hydrant that's like spraying all over you. Pretty good example of something that's urgent. But what we do less often is ask ourselves, is this important? There's two very different things.
Well, and I'm going to chime in real quick and stop the people who are like, but clients. And so I think, I don't know if it's another one of your steps or not, but like, we're not saying don't respond to clients.
Yes, correct.
We are saying, or at least what I'm saying is you need a system for how those clients are handled that are not your inbox.
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
There are other things you can use like Dubsado, like even Trello and like having a, like, this is the designated time and this is what they get next in their process that does not involve you putting out fires in your inbox.
Yes. And that's a really great clarification. So one of the big questions I get around this list, as well as my 15-minute planner method, is people will say things like, okay, cool, that sounds great, but like, what about my social media posts? Like, I need to post on social. Like, I do get real clients and real money from posting on social. Here's the deal. There's a difference between strategic social, strategic email, and just letting it ping you in the face and handling it as it comes in. Two very different things. So when you're sitting down one time on a Monday and you're scheduling the next month worth of posts, that's fantastic. That's strategic. And you should do that. If you have a system, like you said, for answering your email, maybe you check in the morning and at night, and that's it. And you set that expectation with your clients. The crazy thing, and I have fallen into this trap, is it's really amazing to me that we own our own businesses, and yet we forget that we make the rules. You know what I mean? Like, you get to go back to your clients and say, hey, I reply to email. Tell them, be transparent. I check email in the morning and at night. I will get back to you at one of those times. If it's totally urgent, like, maybe you can text me, that's optional. But setting that standard, which is like, this is how it is to do business with me, I think 9 times out of 10, people just need to know what to expect, and then they can chill out.
Yep. I've heard of people also giving their like top level clients that have email access to them, or more of an urgent email access to them, they are required to put a certain subject line when they email. And so, like, if you're just asking a question, if you just want a resource, if you just want this, that's an everyday email that I might get to in a month. Like, sorry, that it might take me a month. But if it's like, the house is on fire and I need a response from you, which, let's be realistic, is really, really rare in a lot of our lines of work. So like, you're not that special and they aren't that special, but they have to use a certain subject line, like literally like brackets, urgent, bracket, their full name or something like that. So you can then search that subject line knowing they're going to use it, and all of those will pop up and you can only respond to them instead of being distracted to about other things.
Yes. Whatever you need to do to make yourself feel like you've got your people covered, but you're being, this whole list is going to be about being proactive versus reactive. That's really, really important, is making sure that you've got that system. So if you're listening to this and you're like, guilty, my to-do list is not getting done, the first thing you need to ask yourself is, am I in my email willy-nilly? Am I in there like when I get bored? Am I picking up the phone and scrolling when I don't have anything else to do? If yes, first of all, congratulations, you're human. I think all of us do that.
Yeah, right. Welcome to the club.
Yeah, but you need
my first year and a half of business.
Yes, totally. And I still find myself doing it, and I have to be like, check myself. It's time to go back to, because what's at stake? What's at stake is the growth of your business. So it becomes worth it. I know it sounds crazy. Like, really, you're telling me that I'm not growing because I'm checking Instagram? But like I said, guys, 135 minutes a day. Imagine having 2 hours back in your day. All of us wish we could manufacture time. This is the way.
Yeah. Well, and when all of our students are like, well, I don't have time to implement this or that or this strategy, I'm like, bullshit. Yes, you do. Because I guarantee you're doing at least one of these other things, if not more than one of them. So you can find the minutes.
Yes, absolutely. So being really intentional with that, this leads really well into the second reason that your to-do list isn't getting done. And Emily, I know you're going to love this one. You aren't prioritizing growth.
1000%. They don't even know what is growth producing activities.
Yes, yes. And we've had a lot of conversations on the show, off the show, just as friends, about, you guys call them IPAs, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Income producing activities.
Income producing activities. In my work, we ask the question, what are we doing this week that will lead to revenue? Like, literally, what am I going to do this week that's going to bring dollars into my business? Now, that might sound really scary because you're like, what can I possibly do this week to impact change? But you need to be thinking on that level. If it's following up with that one person who seems really engaged on Facebook and inviting them to come into your program, do it, whatever those things might be. I remember talking to you guys about this excellent example. I think, was it Abby who went on Instagram and decided to like do a special webinar, and you guys were able to make some extra sales from that?
She literally, it wasn't even a webinar. She went live. So, or not live. She did an Insta story. So what are those, 15 seconds? She did one. And I tell you right now, she did that one. And I think the trickle down effect of that was 2 months later on Evergreen, we sold 9 of our signature program. That's $18,000 from one Insta video.
See, this is what changes when you ask the question, what am I going to do this week that will lead to revenue? And I know that question is scary because when I first started asking it and when I was pushed to ask it by my mentor, it scared the bejesus out of me because I'd rather be tinkering around. Like, it's fun, but you've got to ask the question, what will lead to revenue? So when we're talking about growth, there's only three ways to grow. So I want all of you guys to think about the three ways to grow. You can grow your revenue. That's what we just talked about, which is getting more people to buy stuff. You can grow your audience, which is putting more people into the top of the funnel, or you can grow your skill set. Maybe you need to learn something. You don't know how to run Facebook ads. You don't know how to design something in Canva. Those are the only three things. So what you can do is look at your to-do list and ask the question, do any of these fall into the category of revenue, audience, or skill set? If they don't, they are not going to help you grow. Now, I'm not saying you don't need to do them. There's a bunch of BS in our businesses that we have to do, but it's really important to differentiate between growth-based activities and other stuff, essentially.
We have our core team is made up of four people, and we meet every single Tuesday morning for like an hour and a half. And every single person, it's like round table, go in a circle and share your IPAs for the week. What are the ones that you checked off last week that you're really proud of doing and you think are going to lead to something? And then what are your plans this week for tackling that? Sometimes it's going through a program to learn something new or responding back to these people, whatever, right? Posting, reaching out to sponsors, but it has to be something.
Yep. And what I love about that too is it's another great little drill to do like halfway through the week or even at the end of the week. I'll be honest, before we jumped on this call, I still have a lot of stuff on my list for this week. And I was like, which thing should I do? Should I write my newsletter? Should I reach out to some people that I think might be interested in my next 6-month program? And I'm like, what do I do next? And this becomes like your guiding light. So I asked myself the question, well, which one of these is going to be lowest hanging fruit, bring dollars into my business? I decided to spend some time personally inviting some people into the next run of my program. So it can really help you evaluate when you get that frozen feeling of like, okay, I've got an hour, what do I work on? Pick the things that are going to contribute to growth in one of those three categories. So the next one, these next two are really fun and interesting. So the third reason that your to-do list might not be getting done is over-scheduling. This one is really fun because this one sneaks up on people. I have been guilty, I don't know about you, Emily, of sitting down on my Sunday and going, I'm like, okay, maybe if I plan hour to hour from sun up to sundown, then I can't go off track, right? What could possibly go wrong?
Can't even
say it was straight. Here's what happens. You probably won't even get halfway through Monday before something goes wrong. Kids sick, something with a bill happens, you get a phone call, whatever, internet goes out, so many possibilities. And the worst part of this is when you get off track, what do? Well, your whole week, you have no room to shift anything. And then you feel like total garbage about yourself because you're like, well, spent 2 hours on Sunday planning every minute of my week. Now it's all gone to hell in a handbasket. I guess this week is just garbage and I'll start over next week. And you could have 52 weeks in a row like that. And suddenly you're like, oh my God. And it's such a defeating feeling to shoot too high and be constantly below the bar. So I see a lot of people trying to overschedule and then feeling really bad about themselves when it doesn't go according to plan.
Want to learn exactly step-by-step how to get paid to generate leads in your business? I've kept these details to myself for far too long. I'm ready to spill everything and give you the exact steps that help me generate tens of thousands of qualified leads and millions in low-ticket digital product sales. I won't just show you what I did, but teach you how you can do it too. I'm talking not just how to create low-ticket digital products, but also showing you how to use them strategically to generate leads for your other existing or future offers. I'm sharing it all at bossproject.com/jumpstart, including exactly how I made $8,033 and generated 277 leads my very first month selling digital products. Find out more at bossproject.com/jumpstart. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. Get unparalleled access to job seekers with over 350 million unique monthly visitors globally, according to Indeed data, and an extended reach through Glassdoor. I love that Indeed makes it easy to hire because I'm busy enough already. When we've hired in the past, the process was full of unqualified applicants. With Indeed, we can target the right candidates for the right position. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. In the minute I've been talking to you, 23 hires were made on Indeed, according to Indeed data worldwide. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/strategy hour. Just go to Indeed.com/strategy hour right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/strategy hour. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Money issues are a common stressor in any relationship. Monarch Money is the top-rated personal finance app that can get you and your partner on the same page without any extra cost. Monarch has built-in collaboration features, so together you can see your finances, budget, and get insights on your cash flow. It's the easiest way to manage any household finances. I've tried other finance apps in the past, and they didn't work the way I wanted them to. I don't want to stress over finances. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all of your tags and categories. Monarch's simple, intuitive design makes it so easy to get set up, customize, and use. Monarch prioritizes my privacy, and they'll never sell my data to third parties. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/strategy. That's monarchmoney.com/strategy for your extended 30-day free trial.
Most of you listening are creatives. You're in this space where you need that white space to make amazing shit in your business, right? And show up for your people. And if that is not there, that's when the overwhelm sets in and the frazzled sets in and all of that stuff. And I will tell you, there was such a major shift in how I felt about my business, how excited I was about the stuff that I was doing daily, weekly, when I left so much breathing room in my week. Because as a creative, a lot of you guys, one of your big excuses for like not being as productive or like getting as much stuff done that I hear a lot is, well, you know, I have to be in the right headspace to write or take pictures or paint or whatever it is for your business, right? And if your head is not there, it ain't getting done. Like, and I know that. I know that feeling. So if you're scheduling every hour, every minute, and you're like, well, right now is when I'm supposed to be writing emails, but my head is not here and I've got so much going on that they're either going to be crap emails or they're not getting done. And instead, like allowing yourself that breathing room of waking up today and being like, okay, well, what can I tackle and where is my head today? Like out of the things that you've already kind of set for yourself to do that week.
Yes. What people often don't realize, and what took me a long time to truly believe, and sometimes I still have to work at it, is I think taking a break or going and doing something that you really want to do instead of writing the emails feels like such an indulgence. Like, it's so counterintuitive. Like, I'm already behind and you're telling me to step away. But the crazy thing is, when you're working from a place of alignment and ease and you're feeling good and you're high vibe, you could get things done three times as fast and with three times the quality. So you actually end up making up the time that you're like, you know, when time is like this precious resource that you're clawing at, like you just said, the quality of work isn't going to be there and it's going to take you 10 times as long.
And need I remind you that y'all are your own bosses. So like, you get to decide how this works. If you want to go to Target to have the energy to write a 5-email sequence, that's what you get to decide to do.
Yep. I can't believe how much I forget that sometimes. I'm like, wait a second, I make the schedule. What's going on here? So you guys might be able to guess what number 4 is, right? We just talked about overscheduling. On the flip side, there is underscheduling. So while we don't want to be so regimented that every minute is planned and we're just setting ourselves up to fail, winging it isn't especially effective for most of us. So let's see, has anybody else been in this situation before? You wake up, it's a Wednesday, you realize you've got some time until 10 a.m., you look at your calendar, you check your email, you go on Facebook, and all of a sudden it's 9:15 and you're like, oh my God, what just happened to that?
Where did my morning go? Yeah.
So we do have to put enough structure into of the week, and you kind of hinted at this, and it's coming up actually in a future one of these tips as well, but there is a middle ground. There is a happy place between overscheduled and underscheduling to the point where you're like, oh, I don't know what to work on, so I'm going to go watch that cat and cucumber video for the fifth time.
My favorite way of battling this, and it's worked for us for over 2 years now, and we've changed what the days are, but we've used the same strategy. We pick theme days. I am not a big fan of the Pomodoro method and batching. Like, that just doesn't really work for me, but theme days do, or time blocking. I'm not a big fan of time blocking, but how it helps us is our entire team collectively, and now also our audience, knows what days and how we show up on those days. So Tuesdays are meeting days. If you need to chat with us, 15 minutes, 45 minutes, a team, you need to schedule something with like someone we're hoping to hire or work with, it can only happen on Tuesdays. So our team knows when to schedule that. Wednesdays, all about podcasting days. We do interviews with each other, with other people, whatever. That's happening on Wednesdays. Thursdays are selling days. So what that means for us in our business could be me going off writing a crap ton of emails that we're going to do for a promotion. Abby working with our graphic designer to create stuff for a promotion. Us going live, us hosting a webinar. Anything like that happens on Thursdays. Fridays are kind of the like, we do build this in to our like, oh, when is this going to happen during the week? If we want to have lunch or coffee with my dad or Abby's friend or whatever, like if we both want to go separately, Fridays are the main days that those happen. Sometimes they can kind of scatter depending on how the week looks. But like if a friend approaches us and is like, want to grab coffee, we know that Fridays is our most flexible day to make that happen.
Yes. And I know one of the most common objections that people might have listening to this right now, because it happens all the time when I talk about this, people will say things like, well, that sounds great, but I have clients who I'm like working on a quick turnaround. Like I need to be working for these clients a lot and they don't feel like they're in control of their schedule. Here's the deal. You can do these theme days and have some of them be repeating days. So maybe Monday, Wednesday, Friday are client days. Maybe Tuesday is an audio day and Thursday is a selling day or something like that. So you can have repeating days, but the idea that Emily's talking about, which is so, so hugely important, is you don't wake up in the morning and go, oh my God, there's so many things I could do today. You wake up and you go, what? Yeah, you wake up and you go, it's Tuesday, it's meeting day. I know what I'm doing today. So another suggestion for this that I've been doing and I'm in love with it now is I'm doing A and B weeks in my business. So I have A weeks or client weeks. That's when I see my clients and in both my group and one-on-one business. And B weeks, I don't talk to anybody except maybe you. People that I want to hang out with, but I'm in control. B weeks are my creative weeks. It's when I'm creating my new course that I'm making. It's when I'm doing all that good stuff, email writing, all of those like marketing type things. And having that structure reoccurring can be a really nice way to balance that overscheduling and underscheduling. It's so huge.
Yes. Well, and you just get into a rut of like doing the same thing over and over. And that's when like the resentment about clients or your job or whatever starts to creep in. So giving yourself kind of the like, oh, but tomorrow I get to look forward to this, or next week I can work on it then. It doesn't get put off into like perpetual never getting done space, but it's also not like taking up space of when you're like, no, but this is urgent.
Yep. Totally. And so this is great because I feel like the conversation that we've had so far just now is really leading well into the fifth reason. And this one is huge. Fifth reason that your to-do list isn't getting done is you need some white space. Like that's what you were kind of talking about there, Emily, is, you know, if you're someone like me and probably I think like you too, Emily and Abby as well, if you're someone who spent your childhood years collecting gold stars of achievement, this is really hard. You know what I mean? I was brought up in a culture of more stuff on the calendar equals more productive. In fact, in my corporate career, I had a boss who would look at all of our Google calendars, spy on our calendars, and if there wasn't enough stuff on it, he would say things to us. He'd be like, why is your calendar empty today? And that really did my head in, because now when I have a big block of time, I have like this trauma from this guy pulling me into a conference room being like, well, you need to be out on the floor talking, because I was in sales, like you need to be talking to people, all this stuff. So it stuck with me and not in a good way. And I think other people have very similar experiences with this, whether it's classes and school and customers and all the things that we've been conditioned to believe. But here's the crazy thing, and this is what you were getting at. Your most creative and connected and exciting ideas, they can't find you when you're running that fast. I like to think of this as like a radio. Your best ideas are on this one channel. And when your brain is so busy, you can't, you're not on the right frequency. Like it's going to miss you. You're not going to hear it. So it's the saddest thing to see people running themselves into the ground trying to be successful, when in reality, if you would just slow down enough to change the setting on the radio, you could have your next $1 million idea. But if you're so freaking busy from sun up to sundown, you got nothing left to give. It's just not going to happen.
And I think a really important point I want to make here is, I think this is when a lot of talk about self-care comes into the conversation. And this, it's kind of a buzzword and people don't really know what it means, and people can debate what it means for other people. But what I encourage you guys to do, especially as women, we do this to ourselves so much, is we cannot separate what's self-care and what's lazy. And it's so hard. And we beat ourselves up for taking 30 minutes and maybe watching an old episode of Friends and then getting back into work. Or we beat ourselves up for going to that yoga class or whatever it might be, because we feel like that's such this privilege or this laziness or whatever, that it's not attributing to us getting anything done. And I think the things I want you to start to ask yourself, because I did this, I would beat myself up all the time for watching an episode of like Criminal Minds in the middle of like a day where I was maybe talking to a lot of people. Like when we have like a 45 minute gap in a day where we're doing 6 interviews, I'm going to go watch some TV because it's the only thing that shuts my brain down. And so like treating yourself in a way where you know the purpose that it serves, but like also not letting yourself get sucked into it.
Yes. You know, I will never forget, and I'm really forever indebted to you and Abby. I remember you guys really saved my business booty a few months back when I had a lot, just a metric shit ton of things going on in my life. I had moved, bought a house, sold a house, had a toddler, new state, crazy stuff. And I remember saying to you guys on our mastermind call, I was like, I just want to stare at a wall for 3 days. And you guys were like, you need to stare at a wall. And it felt so counterintuitive. It felt like the last thing I should be doing. I was like, what? How is that going to get me where I want to go? But I did it. And then my best idea that I've ever had, which is my 15-minute planner method that has quadrupled and more my email list, which I've talked about on this show, that's when that idea came to me. I was like, huh, I could make that. You know what I mean? So like that's what I mean with the radio station. Like I had to make sure I wasn't on the right wavelength. And so I had to take that step back. And you talked about this earlier as well with underscheduling and overscheduling. But the key here, this is like the rub, is when you have some white space in your calendar, you can have some room to say, okay, during this chunk, I'm not going to overschedule it, but I'm going to work on marketing. And you get to call the shots. Like when, let's say it's 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. on a Wednesday, you got a nice chunk of time. You get to show up and be like, how do I want to do this? How would it be most fun for me right now? What do I feel like doing related to marketing? So you can kind of be more playful with it, but it requires having a nice chunk of time in your calendar, or else you're just not going to be able to have that creativity and that fun that creates really awesome results. So, and then a couple just like quick ideas for people who are like, okay, but I don't know how to get off the hamster wheel of this. One thing that I think a lot of people run into, especially for my side hustlers out there, you're working full time and you're trying to fit this stuff into the odd hours of your calendar. Make yourself take one day a week completely off. Like this should be mandatory for entrepreneurs. Like everybody needs to sleep. Every brain needs to be turned off for a day. So pick your day, Saturday, Sunday, maybe it's a different day depending on what you do. Take a whole day off. Make yourself do it. Have your partner lock up your laptop if you have to. But you need that reset, or else the quality of your thoughts and your ideas is just not going to be there. Another big thing is scaling back your screen time. So recently I kicked my smartphone out of my bedroom, and it's literally the best thing I've done, because when I go to bed at night and when I wake up in the morning, I don't need to be on Instagram first thing. That doesn't set a good tone for my day. If an urgent fire comes in and it's the first thing I see at 6 a.m, that's going to throw off everything. So that's a big one. And then the third one is carving out some brainstorming time. So getting a few hours each week and defending the shit out of it. Like, don't let people book you during that time. It's tempting. I know. Like, as I've been, I swear, I'm not even kidding. As I've been talking to you, I just got a text from my mom. She's like, do you want to wander down to the boutiques with me? And I really, really do. But I promised myself that Friday afternoon was going to be creative time for me. Like, I've got to defend that.
Yeah. I need that space. Yeah. Well, and that's especially like this whole like overbooking, underbooking, white space realm. Like, I feel like this is where a lot of people, because this was me for maybe like 9 or 10 months when I couldn't really kick this habit and figure out the boundaries. This is when we let the people who do stuff like that. Hey, do you want to go browse this? Hey, do you want to grab lunch? Hey, your friend is calling you on the phone in the middle of the day. And that's the time when we're like, oh, I have time, I can answer. But like, I really truly want you to check in with yourself of like, do you need to go browse some shops? Like, is that what your brain needs right now? Or do you need to do the thing that you said you were going to do?
Yep. 100%. And this also shares a very close border with the sixth reason that your list might not be getting done. And I think this one will be really relevant with you right now, Emily. The sixth one is that you need a grounding practice. This kind of, you mentioned self-care. This gets into that. This also gets into another cliche topic of morning routine. But here's the deal. And that's the thing. Everyone's like, oh, change the record. I know. But seriously, but if you're waking up every day, and I have been there, like both of us have had babies, we're used to like get like my feet hit the carpet and my day's already gotten away from me. Kids screaming, bag isn't packed for daycare, all the things. And I much, much prefer, and trust me, I am not like 100% on this, but if I can just steal even 30 minutes in the morning, quiet time, coffee time, journal, pray, meditate, whatever you're into, paint, write, I don't even care what you do, go outside and put your bare feet in the grass, whatever you're into, 30 minutes where it's just you, just your thoughts, no phone, so that your day doesn't start with that frazzled, I open my eyes and I'm already behind on my day. Like, how can you expect to have a good day when that's what it feels like? And I have been in that space like for a long time.
I have been in that space since January of this year, of 2018, is when I finally put my foot down and was like, no, like I cannot. Because I read the 4-hour work week. And I read The Miracle Morning and I wanted to burn both of them. Like, honestly, like I just rolled my eyes. So much of it was so frustrating to me. Like, I mean, and we could go into like, it's coming from a male perspective and like all this other bullshit. It's not real life.
Yeah, it's not real life.
But so I took it as like, well, then I can't have a morning routine. Like if that's not going to work for me, then nothing's going to work for me. But I finally took like my like body self-care seriously in January. And I started working out 4 days a week. And the only time that worked out for me was getting up at 5 a.m. to go to the 5:45 class to be back home by like 6:40. And I was like, I'm not a morning person. And when I tell you I'm not a morning person, like my husband, like he is like, you are a literal different human being in the morning. You are so like rude. Like, don't talk to me. Don't touch me. Like I just need so much time to just get into the space of being alive again. So me waking up early was not realistic. Like I did not think I would stick to it. And I did, and I still am. And there was a time where Penny got sick, I got sick. And then my husband was he's like taking a series of tests right now for work. And so he's going in at like 5 a.m. So I could not go work out because Penny was here sleeping and someone has to be here. So I like got 2 weeks off track. And it messed me up. This is my first official week back at working out. So I work out. I come home at like 6:40. My coffee pot's done. Penny's still asleep. It's still chilly in the mornings now. I sit out on my deck with a cup of coffee. I might chat with my mom a little bit, but I'll just sit there and just like sit outside with the puppers for like an hour because she doesn't get up for like another hour and a half. And it is so great.
Yeah. And the key thing with this, like the big thing I've learned about this whole morning thing is you've got to pick whatever is going to get your butt up out of bed. It can be anything. Working out is not your thing. No big deal. Like what sounds good to you? What would feel like a treat? Is it lighting your favorite candle? Is it a book that you can't get enough of right now? Is it true crime television like Emily? You know, what is going to make you get up? And the point here is taking some intentional time, letting your brain wake up, again, before feeling like, oh my God, it's 6:30 in the morning and the kid's crying and now the day's already gotten away from me. It's the worst feeling.
Yep. Yep. So just find the thing that works for you. Like take our advice, take their advice, like piecemeal it all together. But I'm telling you, like if you can be intentional with it for like a month straight, I think you will find some changes.
It's life-changing, and literally all you need, even 20 minutes would do it. Just some time where it's just quiet and it's just you. It just makes all the difference in the world. Okay, so here's the last reason. I love this reason because we get a chance to be the mama cheerleaders over here. But the seventh reason that your to-do list might not be getting done is because you're doubting yourself and it's majorly misplaced. This makes me so sad. So here's what happens. Uncertainty gets the best of us, right? You think to yourself, all of us have had that voice that's like, am I really good at this? Do I really have what it takes to earn a living independently? The internet, who do I think I am? My uncle made that weird comment to me about like, who makes money online? Like all the things that happen that just make you doubt everything. And what happens when we doubt ourselves is we get frozen up, we stop taking action, and we don't know where to turn. So I think what ends up happening is what I mean when I say the doubt is misplaced is we feel uncertain about what to work on. And that actually gets translated into I feel uncertain about whether or not I have what it takes. Like people lose sight of the fact that you're really good at painting, you're really good at personal finance, vegan cooking, whatever your thing is. If you're going to doubt something, doubt that you're not working on the right things. That's an okay thing to doubt, but don't doubt your own ability to be successful at the thing that you are good at. So when you get scared, hit publish anyway. Do the thing that is scaring the tar out of you, because the thing is, I love thinking about this. A lot of people think that they need clarity before they take action. But the real crazy thing is clarity comes from taking the action. You won't get clarity until you take a step. So it's like this conundrum. You have to take the step and then the clarity will come. If you sit there and wait, you're going to be waiting for the rest of your life.
Yep. I spent like our entire coaching session yesterday with our Strategy Academy students talking about this very thing of the grand theme of every single person asking a question and commenting was like, I'm scared to launch my thing. I'm scared to dive into this business because my other business failed. I'm scared that like, if this client says no, then that means like, I can't make this a thing, that I can't make this a business, that it affects my judgment on like, well, I picked the wrong people and that makes me a terrible person. And I definitely like still have some of those types of thoughts in various aspects of business when we're trying stuff new. I'm not saying I'm immune to that, but it's been for so long that I haven't been in that space because I keep telling them like the amount of fear and how scary everything is right now. I'm not saying it's ever going to go away, but like it's never going to be as bad as it is right now.
Yeah. Just like cultivating any kind of skill. I mean, I always think it's so funny because we expect so much of ourselves as brand new beginner entrepreneurs. Like we expect ourselves to just be an overnight success out of the gate. But think about how ridiculous that would be in any other aspect of life. If we threw our toddlers in a pool, would we expect them to swim? We'd be like, holy, I got to save you. You don't know how to swim. Or if we went down, like we went skiing for the first time, would you hit the double black diamond? Of course not. Like you put one foot in front of the other, you learn the fundamentals, you practice, you go down the bunny hill until you feel good about it. We need to have the same mindset when approaching business. And I'm not sure why we don't. I guess because some people out there have gotten really lucky and the idea that overnight success is possible really trips us up. But I truly believe I'm a big fan of anyone who's out there acting like they know what they're doing 100%. They're just pretending. Like none of us know. Oprah doesn't know.
No, like you think I wasn't scared shitless, like asking people to like buy something or show up to this webinar or do this thing over here. Like, yes. But as soon as I did it and then I was proven that it worked, like even if one person has said yes, then I'm like, okay, I do know how to do that and I can do it easier next time. So I'm just like rip the Band-Aid off because it will never be this scary ever again. But you have to get past the point of actually doing it for it to not be scary.
Absolutely. So there you have it. Those are seven big reasons.
That's it.
Yep.
Now you're going to be immensely more productive and get so much more done. And you're going to come back and you're going to be like, oh my God, this episode changed my life.
Well, here's the deal. Awareness is the first step, right? Like they say that about a lot of things in life, whether it's, you know, like anything you need to tackle. Awareness that you need to make a change. You're not going to be able to course correct unless you say, yeah, when Steph talked about overscheduling, that's me. Whatever your thing is, like the first step is going, okay, I can do this. I just need the tools to have that simple method for planning like we talked about.
Can you go through and say the seven individual steps in order for people?
Absolutely. So number one was you need to step away from the inbox. And when I say inbox, I mean all the urgent stuff that's not important, social media chores, all that. Number two was you aren't prioritizing growth. Number three is you're overscheduling your time. 4 is you're under scheduling your time, AKA winging it. Number 5 was you need some white space in your life. Number 6 is you need a grounding practice or a morning routine, whatever you want to call that. And number 7 is you're doubting yourself and it's majorly misplaced.
Yes, I love that. Tell people where they can read more about that if they want to follow up on those and see them with their eyeballs and what else you've got going on that's going to help them out.
Yes. So if you're looking for a simple way to lay out your week that is optimized for growth, this is my jam. It's what I do. It goes really well with Trello for Business. If you like that, you can go to, actually, I'm just going to tell you guys about the challenge I have going on because you'll get the whole kit and caboodle. So July 23rd, I'm kicking off for the second time my Plan Your Most Productive Week Ever challenge. July 23rd, mark your calendars, but you can go to courageandclarity.com/challenge. And that's going to get you my 15-minute planner method, which is totally free. You can kind of start practicing with that. And then for the actual challenge, we'll drill deep into some of the advanced tactics to really make this thing stick. This is my second time launching the challenge in January. We had like 900 people come through it. It was super fun. And I am so thrilled to do it again. So it's courageandclarity.com/challenge. And I would love to see some of you guys over there.
Well, thank you so much for coming on again, Steph.
Thanks for having me. It's always a blast.
Looking to elevate your brand without the headache? Join the Co-op, our creative template shop membership. With thousands of easy-to-customize templates, all crafted to seamlessly fit your business aesthetics, we make nurturing leads and driving sales effortless. We're talking serious impact and seriously simple creation. Become a member now at creativeshopcoop.com and transform your business today. That's creativeshopcoop.com. Hey, a few quick favors before you leave. I'd love if you'd share today's episode, send it to a friend who needs to hear it, and post on social. You can show us where you're listening from, your favorite takeaway, or why someone else should listen. Be sure to tag me at Abigail Says and at Boss Project so we can share it. Okay, second favor, to get podcast updates and all the behind-the-scenes news from Boss Project, I'd love if you'd join my VIP list. Just head to bossproject.com/signup to make sure I have all your contact details. Really love this show? It would mean so much to me if you'd leave a rating and review. It not only helps more listeners find the show, but allows us to bring on quality sponsors so we can keep bringing you this valuable content for free. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time.